This is Fresh Air. When Sally Field was playing a stand-up comic in the movie Punchline, she wanted to apprentice a real comic. The comic she studied was my guest, Susie Essman. You can see Essman this Sunday when she performs on HBO's stand-up comedy series, One Night Stand. Her performance was recorded in Miami, where she used to go as a kid to visit her grandmother. She says she used to think of Miami as the South until she realized Cubans and Jews weren't what the Confederacy had in mind. Here's an excerpt of Susie Essman's performance from One Night Stand.
Couples, no matter how, like, you guys, you're young and you're holding hands and everything and you're all cute and perky, you end up being that couple 20 years from now that hates each other, like my aunt and uncle. They hate each other and they don't even know it. They don't even know what they sound like. My aunt will be having some serious conversation on the phone and my uncle will be in the next room screaming, "Where's my socks?" You know, so she'll be like, "You know, Gloria, it's very, very sad to find out that your son wants such a mutilating operation." "To my drawer, not your drawer. What the hell's the matter with you? You can't find a lousy sock?" And I think I speak for Ben when I say we feel for you. Speak to him. He's so gentle and understanding. "Pick up the phone, you moron. It's Gloria. She says her son is a woman trapped in a man's body." And you know, Gloria, you have to think of the positive thing. There's the shopping you could do together. You'll end up like that. Or my mother and father.
You're very funny at doing your mother and the women who you grew up around. Mm-hmm. Was there a time when you lived in fear of becoming them?
I still do. I catch myself making my mother's faces all the time. I always live in fear of becoming them. I feel them in my body. I am them, I think.
Now, why
is it? My boyfriend's afraid of that. He's always afraid that, you know, 20 years from now, I'm going to be one of those women. And I very well may be.
So who would you be if you became your mother?
That's a very trick question, Terry. She might be listening. I'll never actually look like my mother because I'm thin. You know, my mother's like that big Eastern European peasanty looking thing, you know? Like if she lifted up her skirt, there'd be a huge brisket underneath there. It's that whole effect. But I'm actually nothing like my mother. My mother is much more reserved than I am. But then you find yourself, I think when you become a mother yourself, which I'm not, you find yourself acting like your parents. I see it with my nephews, how I do those kinds of things, you know, when are you going to be home and that kind of stuff. Those things that you said you'd never do with your children that people end up doing.
Well, you've picked up a way of talking that I assume is your mother's because you attributed to her.
Right. And facial expressions.
Now, did you have to work hard at that, or is that something that came really natural
to you? It's so easy for me to do. That's the scary part. I could just become her so easily. But then, you know, I lived with her for 18 years.
No, a lot of what you talk about has to do with being Jewish. Mm-hmm. Did you go to the Borscht Belt when you were young and see a lot of the Jewish comics?
No, never. I do that now. I work up there now, which is a funny place to work. But no. We didn't do that at all. As a matter of fact, we used to go to a bungalow colony that was kind of this left-wing progressive bungalow colony. You know, where we just sat around and sang folk songs. It was a completely different thing.
So they didn't have comics and belly dancers
No.
there?
No, I wasn't allowed to even play with Barbie dolls because they were subversive in some way, you know? I wasn't allowed to be a Girl Scout. It was a very left-wing kind of upbringing that I had.
So you perform in the Borscht Belt now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's different kinds of hotels in the Borscht Belt now. There are the ones that are trying to attract the young singles
right.
for the singles weekends. And then there's the hotels where almost all the clientele is retired. And
right.
They're the people who'd been going there all their lives and they still go there.
Yeah.
So
then there's a number. I did a couple of bungalow colonies this summer,
uh-huh.
which is a whole other scene. You know, there are people that come up and that have been coming up to the same place for 35, 40 years, and they rent a bungalow for the summer. It's like a dying thing, I think.
Do you find that people of different generations react differently to your stories?
Sure. But what's interesting is sometimes older people, like my parents' age, they don't get it because I'm doing them, so they don't get what's funny.
Right.
You know, they're just like, It's perfectly natural to them. They don't see that there's any humor in it. But when you say younger singles people, they're not really young. They're in their 40s.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not like the young, hip Soho crowd that goes to the Borscht Belt.
What's an example, do you think, of something that someone who's older wouldn't get because it's about them and they don't see anything funny about it?
Well, I'll do this bit, let's say. I do this bit about my family at a bridal shower. And... how different different ethnic groups behave differently. Bridal showers in my family, they're always screaming and shouting, and they're opening up the gifts and saying things like, give me the receipt, you can return it, you know, and screaming and shouting. And my aunt always sits there judging every gift, saying things like, is that something she needs? And they don't get that because that's who they are. That's what they do. So they don't see that it's funny. Luckily, you do, Terry, so that's a good thing.
Well, take me along. I'll laugh. And
it's fun up there, though. I like it. And I love old people. That's why I liked going to Miami Beach to shoot the HBO special, because my grandmother was probably my favorite person in my life, and I just have such an affinity for old people. I just think they're the cutest things, and they're undervalued in this society.
How Jewish was your family when you were growing up? I mean, how observant were they? How much?
Oh, not very at all.
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, we always had Hanukkah and Passover and Rosh Hashanah and that kind of stuff, but never went to temple or anything like that.
Did you didn't get bas mitzvah?
No.
Do you fast on Yom Kippur?
It depends on what my weight status is at that time. If I feel that it's something necessary, yes. But I feel like, you know, the whole atoning for my sins thing, that's coming up actually, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I kind of feel like I have been atoning for so many years for sins I never committed. So to spend this day atoning for my sins always seems ridiculous to me. It's a good concept, though.
Comic Susie Essman is my guest, and she's got an edition of One Night Stand coming up on HBO on September 20th. We're going to take a short break and then talk some more. This is Fresh Air. My guest is comic Susie Essman. She performs this Sunday night on the HBO stand-up series One Night Stand. Here's another excerpt.
Do you ever have bad sex with a guy? You know that feeling when you're having bad sex with a guy? And bad sex is a concept you guys don't even get, but for women, there's such a thing. And you're thinking to yourself, well, what is he thinking right now? Is he thinking this is something that's pleasurable? You know, and you want to say to him, can you get into a marginally erogenous zone, you know? And then you get that type that's asking you questions all the time, and questions like, there's one guy I remember, I was in bed with him, he kept on saying to me, tell me what you want, tell me what you want, tell me what you want. I want a milkshake, what do you think I want? How many things can I want in this position? And then I would get too shy to answer him, because up here I have the mic, but in bed, I'm naked and I'm vulnerable.
How did you decide to be a comic?
You know, I didn't really decide. It kind of just happened. I don't think it's something that one decides because it's such a strange thing to do. I was really not doing anything. I'd been waitressing for many years, kind of very lost and depressed, but I was always funny, and people that I worked with were always encouraging me to do it. And I did it one day, just kind of on a lark. I never expected to be a comedian, and it worked. It felt right, and I got work right away. So I just started doing it.
What would you do when you were waitressing that was funny?
I would imitate all the customers because I hated the job so much that in order to make it bearable, I would imitate all the customers. And interesting, a lot of the customers at that restaurant were very suburban, Jewish, middle-class people at this particular restaurant where I worked. So it was that whole, it just kind of played into my whole act, really. And, you know, I mean, I would just go back and just be making fun of everybody in the kitchen all the time, making everybody laugh.
So what were your first routines like when you started performing?
Very different and the same. In the beginning, I only did characters. I was so afraid to talk in my own voice that I just would go from one character to the next, and I never even spoke as Susie. Which is interesting, because now if you see me live, not so much on the special on TV, it's harder to do. Live, I pretty much, sometimes I'll just work the audience, never do material at all. I feel so comfortable just being myself on stage. But that took a long time to get to.
So when you say that you'd often just talk to the audience, what do you do with them when you do that?
Well, when I'm doing shows live, I like to create an experience that we're all having together. Like sometimes it's like one big group therapy session or something. You know, I could just get up on stage and do my act, which sometimes I do when I'm tired. But I like it to be something that's live in the moment, that's going on in the moment, that will never be experienced again, and once it's over, that's it. You know, so I'll just work the room. I'll try to find things that are happening in the room. And people tell me the most intimate secrets of their life. It's fascinating. But not really when you consider, you know, what they tell you on Oprah Winfrey.
True. So you're on stage and you're looking around the room for somebody to start with.
You'll feel it. You just feel it. I'll look around and I'll see, you know, maybe a couple that something looks like they just had a fight, for example. And I'll start exploring what's going on with them. And it'll be funny. It just comes out funny. People, as a matter of fact, I think people in the audience enjoy that more, the spontaneity, than my act.
So,
because they're involved in the experience. I think people like that, when they feel involved in the experience. It's not like they're just watching something that they could watch on television.
Let's take this hypothetical couple that you think just had a fight.
Right.
How are you going to start with them?
I'll just look at them, talk about how unhappy they look, and find out what's going on. And many times they'll tell me, and it ends up being very funny. And everybody becomes then involved in the audience. The 100 people in the audience become involved with these two couples, with this one, these two people, this couple. And it becomes an experience that we're all having together. And it's just, I have to lead it. And what I'll usually do is I'll lead it in ways that I know I'm going to go into lines of mine, that I know I have punchlines and I know it'll be funny. You know, so there's always a save there if it's not working.
Is there an example you could tell us where it worked out really well recently?
Let me think. Oh, yeah, you know, recently there was a couple in the audience and they were both married to other people and having an affair with each other. And they had been married previously, like 16 years ago, and then gotten a divorce and both remarried to other people. And here they were away for the weekend having an affair with each other, you know, and telling me this.
And why? Why are they telling you this?
They're 15 minutes.
Oh,
they're getting the attention.
See, I live in fear of this kind of thing, you know. There's a certain kind of show I'll go to where I'll make sure I'm not on the aisle in mm-hmm. case one of the performers is walking on the aisle looking for mm-hmm. looking for somebody to taunt.
People, listen, why would they tell me? Look at the things they tell Geraldo. You know, and here we are. We're not on television. We're just in a comedy club. Why not tell me? Then they get all the attention, and the show becomes about them, and I'll keep on referring to them, and, you know, I'll make them look ridiculous in a way, but not in a mean way.
Uh-huh. Now, I know one of the things you've done in your career is you coached Sally Field for her role in mm-hmm. Punchline as a mother who's aspiring to be a stand-up comic.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of advice did you give her?
Well, we didn't... I didn't really give her advice. This was so long ago. It was about 5 years ago. It was more we just hung out together every day, and she just kind of did it through osmosis. She was trying to get my rhythms and my accent, and... she would just come and watch me on stage a lot. And, you know, I'd go over to her house and she'd make me chicken salad sandwiches and stuff. That was always kind of fun.
How did it
get
to be?
I would see the Oscars on the mantelpiece, and I'd wait till she'd leave the room and go pick them up. And I would feel like Eve, you know, and All About Eve with
right.
the dress on in front of the audience.
So how did it get to be you who coached her?
David Seltzer, who's a director, saw me in a comedy club, and he felt that I was the kind of humor that he wanted her to have. And then she came and saw me, and it just kind of worked that way.
When you first started, your first nights in comedy, mm-hmm. what was your material like?
It was all character stuff. As I said, it was just, I would just do different characters. I would do my grandmother. I would do...
And what was your grandmother like?
Well, actually, see, this is actually, it's again, that's a composite, because it's content of my grandmother, but the voice of a friend of mine's grandmother, you know, you kind of mush them all together. And she was one of these women who talked like this and, you know, smoked like 50 packs of cigarettes a day and sold hot clothing from her home in Co-op City. Go-go boots, you know, jeans, that kind of thing.
Who else would you do?
I had so many things that I don't do anymore. I had a psychic character that I used to do, and I had the president of the Menudo fan club.
Oh.
That I used to do.
Can you do that person?
You know, like I'm president of the Menudo fan club, and I think they're really, really cute, you know, but like some people say they're really fine and there's a lot of controversy, you know, like that kind of stuff. And I don't remember. I was so terrified in those days that I kind of blanked it all out of my mind. It's scary in the beginning. It's really scary.
Have you ever really died on stage?
Oh, of course. Everybody has. Yeah, of course. Actually, I think I was thinking about this the other day. I think the time I died worse than ever in my life was I did a show for an audience of all Hasidic Jews and died a death beyond. They did not want to see me. They did not want to see a woman, and especially a Jewish woman, and especially somebody with my mouth, they didn't want to see.
You know how with a lot of Jewish people, things are measured by, is it good for the Jews or bad for the Jews?
Yeah, yeah.
So do you think in the eyes of your relatives, are you good for the Jews or bad for the Jews?
I would say good, because I've been successful. So I would say good. I don't know. It's interesting because I do a lot of different ethnic characters in my act, and I've never had anybody from that ethnic group feel alienated or complain to me, except for Jews. Not about my doing Jews, but Jews complaining to me that I'm being racist by doing blacks or by doing Puerto Ricans or something like that. It's interesting because they're overly sensitive to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I say that's their problem.
Susie Essman, she performs Sunday night on the HBO stand-up comedy series One Night Stand. This is Fresh Air.